So I'm going to introduce Boris Groys, who's going to speak about the politics of space. Boris Groys is professor of aesthetics, art history, and media theory at the Academy of Design, Center for Art and Media Technology in Karlsruhe, Germany. He's also global, there's the word global, distinguished professor at the Faculty of Arts and Science at New York University in New York. Among the exhibitions he's curated are Total Enlightenment, Conceptual Art in Moscow, 1960 to 90, which was an incredible exhibition at the Kunsthalle Schirn in Frankfurt, which juxtaposed the work of the high Stalinist socialist realist period with a work such as work by Komar Melamed, which had, in a sense, revived it by playing on it. And it was also that same exhibition at the Fundación March in Madrid. He also curated Privatizations at the KW Institute of Contemporary Art in Berlin and Green Factory Communism, also at the Kunsthalle Schirn. No, actually, I believe it was Green Factory Communism show I'm talking about. Right.
Is an exhibition that is running now.
That's right, okay. Which I have not seen more than catalog, but there is also apparently an excellent catalog for that. But the Dream Factory Communism posited the whole communist effort win over the public as having learned from Hollywood techniques and using them even better. And he also, his books include Art Power, MIT Press, Cambridge, Mass., and Ilya Kamakov, The Man Who Flew into Space from His Apartment, which is MIT Press, and Die Erfindung Russlands, and also The Total Art of Stalinism, which was published in Russian, German, Italian, English, and Japanese, and I believe a lot of young students in Russia have worshipped at his feet. So Boris Groys is going to talk about the politics of space. Boris Groys.
Well, speaking about Ilya Kabakov's art, one should first of all ask whether there is actually an artist called Ilya Kabakov. For Ilya Kabakov's installations almost always relate to the history of art, showing the works, telling the biographies, commenting on the artistic method, their aspirations, and their disappointments. It is true that all of these artists are fictitious. It was Kabakov who invented the identities, who painted and drew the words, and who wrote the text. Inevitably, the question arises why he needs to resort to such a complicated game of pseudonymity that is familiar, perhaps, in the world of literature, but extremely unusual in the art world. Of course, one can argue that Kabakov has developed this strategy much earlier, already in the 70s, in his famous album, Ten Characters. But today, I would like to connect the strategy of pseudonymity with the concept of total installation that Kabakov developed in the late 80s and 90s, as he began to show his work in the West. And this theory was presented by him in his book on the total installation, published in the year 1995. The concept of total installation has made a lasting impact on contemporary art theory and practice, to be sure. An important and maybe even decisive reason for the success of this Kabakovian concept has to do with the immediate visual impact that the Kabakov's installation made and still make on their visitors. These installations are minimalistic and poetic at the same time, and they lead the visitor to be immersed in a kind of other, different world, different reality, that is governed not by the rules of everyday life, but by the rules of artistic imagination. Even if the objects with which the visitor is confronted inside these installations are mostly everyday objects. Some of these Kabakovian total installations are shown currently here in Moscow. Some of them are documented in the catalog to this exhibition. So it seems to me that it makes no sense for me at that moment to describe them in any details. Instead, I would like to argue that the concept of total installation was proposed by Kabakov primarily not with a goal to characterize the specificity of his own installation practice. Rather, Kabakov developed this concept of total installation, as a theoretical tool to change our perception of every possible artistic installation. In fact, even of every possible art exhibition. Namely, we can look at every art exhibition as a total installation if we change our perception of the exhibition space. As a rule, we tend to see an art exhibition as an accumulation of the individual objects, art objects, in space. Accordingly, the space between the exhibited objects is experienced by us simply as an empty, neutral space. The exhibition space is a medium that allows us to see art. We are moving in it from one object to the other object and looking through to see this artwork. And that means we overlook the space as such. Like we tend to overlook the white surface of a page when we read a text. The concept of total installation, as it was proposed by Kabakov, requires from the spectator to overcome the structurally determined blindness, to develop a holistic, totalistic vision of space. And most importantly, to realize that the spectator's own body is a part of the exhibition space, that by entering an installation, the visitor finds himself or herself not outside, but inside the artwork. Thus, the concept of the total installation is the next step in a long tradition of modern phenomenological and artistic programs that requires from us to change our mental attitude and to see what was overlooked before, or according to a famous formulation by Marshall McLuhan, to realize that the medium is a message. So the exhibition space is not a medium, but also a message. In this sense, one can see the artistic installations that were realized by Kabakov as educational in the first place, as a school for the visitor's gaze. Also in this respect, Kabakov stays in a long and venerable modernist tradition. Here is sufficient to remember two Russian houses that also stay in this tradition. Kandinsky, he was already mentioned, has interpreted his own paintings as eye openers, as a way to realize that every possible painting is abstract because it consists exclusively of colors and shapes. The only goal of Kandinsky as a painter was for him to prevent the spectator from a chance to overlook this fact. Kandinsky made his paintings explicitly abstract to demonstrate that every painting is implicitly abstract. In the same way Malevich has demonstrated that every image can be seen as a supremacist one, that means as a radically autonomous one, not only his own image. Also Kabakov made his earlier total installations in a way that the visitors could not overlook the holistic, totalizing organization of the installation space. These installations were very baroque. The light was the most important tool to make the visitor to experience the installation space, namely to see it as a medium of light. But by time, Kabakov's installations became less and less baroque. The light became more and more the standard light of a conventional art exhibition. The installation The Alternative History of Art by Ilya Kabakov, by Ilya and Emilia Kabakov, that is currently shown here, is a good example of this development, of the late phase of this development. It is an artistic installation, in fact, a total installation. But it looks at a first glance as a conventional art exhibition. The space of the exhibition seems to be a conventional empty space in which the individual artworks are placed. But of course, it's only an illusion. An alternative art history is a total installation because its space is a space of a fiction. And standard art exhibition is supposed to present to us a certain fragment of a common art history, a history that the visitor shares with the curator of the exhibition and the exhibited artist. The empty space of a conventional exhibition is precisely the neutral space in which this common, shared history does manifest itself. But Kabakov creates an exhibition of the fictional artist. Here the relationship between total installation and strategy of pseudonymity becomes obvious. The difference between the space of standard art exhibition and the space of total installation becomes not visual, but purely a mental one. We know that the whole space of alternative history of art is a fictional space, like a space of a novel or a space of a film. And then suddenly, we realize that allegedly empty space of a conventional exhibition is in fact also total, or maybe even totalitarian one. It is a space where the ideological fiction of common history and common values is installed and celebrated. And it was by Matthew who already suggested that after we realize that this ideological illusion of a shared art history maybe even disappear. By installing his own personal fictional art historical narrative, Kabakov reveals the ideological character of contemporary or modern contemporary exhibition practice. And he does so by using extremely reduced, minimalistic, but precisely because of that, extremely effective means. In this sense, Kabakov's total installations have an obvious political dimension. Kabakov made them, having been de facto an emigre in the West, immediately after the end of the Cold War. At that time, there was no common history that would unite the bourgeois West and the post-communist East. Even now, I would suggest that there is still no such common history. East and West remain historiographically, culturally divided, also politically, as a consequence. That means Kabakov built his total installations on a culturally and politically foreign territory. That was and still is, of course, not an exceptional case in our time of globalization. The discourse of the other, the problem how to represent different non-Western cultural identities inside the Western art institutions, defined in many ways the international cultural discussions of the recent decades. The problem of Kabakov was, however, not how to represent his cultural identity, but how to represent his cultural non-identity, lack of cultural identity. The Soviet and official art circles, and Kabakov was part of them, felt themselves also in the Soviet Union not quite at home. They lived in many respects already the life of inner emigration. They had operated on a territory that was controlled by historical ideological narrative that was familiar to them, but that they didn't share. So the emigration to the West was for the official Soviet artists and intellectuals a double emigration. So emigration from the emigration, or what they took with themselves, but not the country, but the emigration already existed. What they took with them as a bullet to the West was their cultural non-identity, a radical inner division within their own artistic practice. That was Soviet and non-Soviet at the same time, Russian and non-Russian at the same time. The problem of the representation of one cultural identity is, as we know, already a difficult one. But the problem how to represent one's own non-identity is, of course, one of double difficulty. However, Kabakov has already in the Soviet Union found a way, I would say a formal way, very formalistic way, to translate this division of the self, this inner own non-identity, into a different set of terms, namely to formulate them as a division between artist and curator, or author and editor. So this inner ambiguity between Soviet and non-Soviet Russian and non-Russian was translated in the ambiguity between artist and curator. That is the true source of the pseudonymity that characterizes Kabakov's whole work. Kabakov acts as an artist and curator at the same time, but by doing so he does not erase the difference between artist and curator, quite on the contrary. He makes this division inside the contemporary art practice a central topic of his own art and of his theoretical reflection on art in general. Now, as it so often happens in art history, by trying to solve his own personal artistic problems, Kabakov has identified the central problem of contemporary art today, I mean at least since the show. There is namely no ontological difference anymore between art making and art display. In the context of contemporary art, to make art means to show certain things as art. So the question arises, how to differentiate between the roles of artist and curator when there is no difference anymore between producing art and exhibiting art? Now, I would argue that the difference between artists and curators still exists, and precisely for the installation demonstrates. Every artist has a sovereign right, sovereign individual, absolute right, to make art only exclusively his or her private imagination, and to do so without any further explanation or justification. The sovereign decision of an artist to make art in this or that way is generally accepted by the Western liberal society as sufficient reason to perceive this artist's practice as legitimate. But a curator, even an independent one, is usually regarded as a symbolic representative of the democratic public opinion. A curator is free to start a public discussion, trying to persuade the public, to influence it. But precisely the necessity of such a discussion and freedom of such a discussion shows that the curator cannot take sovereign decisions about what could be included in the exhibition space and what should be excluded from it. Rather, the curator is under an obligation to justify and explain his or her choices to the public. So one can say that in our society, the artist and the curator embody two different kinds of freedom. One says a Western society, or contemporary society, a free society, but the notion of freedom is ambiguous, divided and split in itself. The private, sovereign, unconditional freedom of art making, and the institutional, conditional freedom of exhibiting art, of curating art. Now, the authorship of the Kabakov installation is always a double one. These installations function simultaneously as artworks and curated exhibitions, in this sense, as being democratic and sovereign. I refer to somebody who knows that, to the discussions started by Claire Bishop, some other authors, about the democratic dimension of contemporary installation practice. So I would propose to characterize the space of this installation as a space of sovereign democracy. Of course, a term that is very well known in Russian. That means the space of contemporary exhibition and installation is a space of ambiguity between democracy and sovereignty. Structural ambiguity that cannot be transcended or deconstructed, but only revealed and demonstrated. And it seems to me that the importance of the Kabakovian concept of total installation lies primarily in its capability to open our eyes and minds to this ambiguity of sovereign democracy, ambiguity of sovereignty in democracy, not only here, but everywhere in the contemporary political and artistic context.
Это будет.